good morning and welcome to you. I hope you're travelling well, particularly those of you who were in southeast Queensland who may have been affected by the storm yesterday afternoon. Before I begin, I want to firstly acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And welcome to you if you're listening to Let's Talk through the National Indigenous Radio Service or on our live stream at 989fm.com.au. My name is Karen Durante and I have a couple of guests with me today, Dion Tatto and Brett Mooney, both members of the Gabanjalam Network, which was probably having a yarn with Kelly Roberts, if you recall, a few weeks back now, or about a month ago now, I'd say. And the boys are here to reiterate a bit about the work that the Gabanjalam Network does and this special event that they're having in Brisbane, kicking off at 6:30 tomorrow night. Good morning to you, Dion.
Good morning, Karen.
And good morning to you, Brett.
Morning, sis. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Let's talk about the storm yesterday. Whereabouts were you guys?
Well, I tell you, if you weren't ducking for cover, you was just ducking, I think. It was pretty intense and caught a lot of people out. So the news, it said on the news.
Yeah, luckily I just got home from work. So, yes, I enjoyed the storm at home.
All right. No damage from the storm, from the hailstones?
No, not for me.
No, not really. A lot of fallen trees around the area, you know, making things complicated for people going to work and coming home from work. But apart from that, no damage at my place. But it is something to be taken into consideration. It is storm season for us. So, you know, taking care of what's in the backyard and tying stuff down and having a plan, batteries, all that kind of stuff when there's storm season about, it's a smart thing to do.
Sure. And did any of you experience any loss of power?
Yes, I still haven't got power, haven't had power since about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
All right, no worries then. Well, let's hope that power resumes at some stage. We're operating on a generator here at our West End studio, so it's a bit warm in the studio today, so I do apologise for that. Yeah. But let's hope everyone gets back to normal.
That's it. Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, it was really, really funny. You watch TV and you got all these fellas chasing storms, and in here in Queensland, we don't chase them. They come straight to you kind of thing, you know?
That's it.
All right, then. Well, look, we're here to talk a bit about the Gabanjalam Network and what that is, and also about the big, big party tomorrow night at the Hotel Orient. Dion, tell us a bit about the Gabanjalam Network. How long has it been around?
Our Gabanjalam Network has been around for about 20 years, 18 years. It started through the Queensland AIDS Council, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander project there, and it's a support network for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander gay men, sister girls, lesbians, and also a social network.
So what prompted the creation of it then?
I think it was the group was established in response to HIV. And as an attempt to stem, I guess, the notifications or diagnosis of HIV within Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So they wanted an avenue to get the message out. So the network was established to assist people in coming out, but also to promote safe sex messages and education and awareness around HIV.
Has its focus or role changed in that 18 years?
It still has a focus on education and awareness around HIV, but it also now, I guess, and in the past, has one of its aims has been to assist Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander gay men, sister girls, lesbians to come out. I guess we all realise that, you know, sometimes it's a difficult thing to do. So the network is there to help those people that might be going through a tough time around their sexuality and to support them in that coming out process.
All right. What do we know about HIV nowadays in terms of notifications and infection rates? I mean, who are our at-risk groups?
It's slightly different, I guess, in our communities than the non-Indigenous community. In the non-Indigenous community, most notifications are through from men who have sex with men. In our communities, it's a bit different. We have more notifications amongst our women and more notifications amongst our injecting drug users, as well as men who have sex with men. So I guess the method of transmission is different. in our communities. And I think because of the efforts of the various Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander projects around the country,
yes,
we haven't had the HIV epidemic that we thought we might have way back in the 80s amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which is really good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, look, let's talk a bit about you two before we continue talking about the network. Dion? Where are you from? Who are your mob?
Okay, well, I'm born and bred in Rockhampton in central Queensland. So my mob are the Imman and Wadja people around the North Burnett and Wadjas around the Warrabinda, so central Queensland. On my mum's side, and my dad's family from Ambram Island in Vanuatu.
Oh, right, okay. So tell us, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in
Rockhampton? Born and bred.
Yep. Okay. Where did you go to school?
Oh, yeah. North Rocky High, I was.
All right. You're scared about giving away your age or something, aren't you?
I'm very scared about giving away my age.
Yeah, you're still 21, you know.
I wish.
Don't you start counting backwards from about 25 or something, don't you?
Well, I'm double that.
So what did you want to do, as a young fella in Rockhampton through school?
Yeah, I wanted to be a teacher, PE teacher.
Okay.
But that got knocked in the head when I found out about this wonderful place called NASDA. And I actually auditioned when I was in grade 12 and got accepted and went down to NASDA in Sydney.
So you were a dancer at one stage of your life?
A couple of years.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
a couple of years.
Okay. So what's the name? You danced for a couple of years?
I was only there at NASDA for a couple of years.
Now. Ballet. Hey, Dion, ballet, wasn't it?
No, tap. And then I ended up moving back up to Rocky and I joined the public service back in 1986
mm-hmm.
and worked there for over 20 years and led me to where I am now at Quake, the Queensland Aboriginal Islander Health Council. I've been there for about 8 years.
Okay, right. So that's a real sort of round circle, isn't it? Going from performance to now public servant and you know, in a service orientated kind of industry. You're gay?
Yep, I am.
All right. When did you find out?
Oh, I think I've known most of my life, you know, from about my teens.
Really?
I sort of, went through that whole, acceptance thing myself.
All right. How did the family react?
There were a few issues at the beginning, but it's all fine now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we won't turn our attention on to Brett now. Brett Mooney, where are you from?
I'm a Mackay boy. My dad's people are from the Solomons and my mum's people are from a few islands in the Torres Strait, mainly Badu and Murray Island.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mackay and probably in the Torres Strait as well and a few towns along the coast there, East Coast. I was a bit of a runaround kid growing up. You know, I think trying to find myself. Type of thing. So I was just moving from looking for that family unit, looking for love, looking for all that type of stuff as I was growing up.
Went to a few different schools, did you?
Yeah, I went to many.
How much is many? More than five?
Yeah, more than five.
Really?
You get kicked out.
TI High, Pioneer High,
North
Mackay
High.
Dion said
you got kicked out?
Yeah.
Where?
Serena High.
Okay. What did you get kicked out for?
A lot of things, I think. Just issues. I wasn't happy with myself and was fighting everybody that was, close to me and end up playing up at school with a javelin and another student and got expelled from there and I went straight into Mackay then.
Is the student all right?
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. I just scared him,
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So what was, okay, can we find out what was going on? I mean,
Dion
is beside himself with laughter here.
Yeah, I think, look, I too, myself, I'm gay as well. I think that journey, coming out and experiencing a lot of different and new emotions can be very trying for people. And if you don't have the right support around you, then you got to go and find it. And if you don't have the know-how to access support, then you could be one of these ones that'll hide in a bottle or you start using other substances to get away from the truth of who you are as a person. And you can see it. It's not just happening with gay people. It's happening with everybody who has issues. They use, sometimes they'll use alcohol as a mechanism to deal with stuff. I think I wasn't to that stage, but it was very easy that, you know, someone who has issues, he can't get support. It's very easy for them to slip backwards.
Yeah. Would have, a network like Gabunjalung would have helped both of you in your circumstances?
Yeah, well, actually, it has. From Dion's description, it's a really, really good group. But I think when I came to Brisbane, I was leaving my family. And the family structure that I was brought up with. Gabunjalung provided that family structure for me when I was in Brisbane. So I had elders in the group. I had people who were the same age and I had younger people to interact with. And that for me took part of my family unit, as in terms of, you know, older people in your own family, younger people in your own family. So that was an important part for me to kind of keep up and balanced with trying to live in Brisbane and getting a job and everything like that. And if I didn't have Gabunjalung, I think I wouldn't be so successful with where I am today, because that's my family live in Mackay, and I live in Brisbane. So when I'm not there, Gabunjalung's all I got, or certain members of the Gabunjalung who I am closely associated with, they're my immediate family here in Brisbane now. So yeah, that's how Gabunjalung's helped me out, and also with the passing on of information and awareness about STIs and education, community events, and the normal cultural practices that we're used to at home. Gabunjalung provides that here in Brisbane as well.
Mm. Of course, you work at Two Spirits, which is just tell people a bit about that.
Myself and I have another work colleague, Philip Sariego, we work at the Two Spirits program. That's an office here in Tenerife in Brisbane. We also have another office in Cairns with two other workers up there, Nikki Hill and Arane Meeks. And we're basically designed to help support not only our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander sexual health workers, but also community members who are coming out or need to access information about HIV, STIs, and all the support networks that you need coming out. Obviously, they're not some of these services and some of the networks that people might want to access might not be in their communities, but Two Spirits and Gabunjalung can also help provide them with a link to some services in Brisbane.
Because I was going to ask whether, you know, Gabunjalung did provide services or it fills a gap somewhere in terms of the services that are available to, the LGBT brother, boy, and sister girls communities.
Yeah, look, Gabunjalung, you can have it information passed on from a professional context, and you can have it passed on from the way Gabunjalung does it.
Mm.
Gabunjalung is a more informal, unclinical, like communication you'd get in a kitchen over a bowl of cereal about an issue.
Over a
back fence, at home. You know, it's kind of the information you get and the style you get it from and the amount of support you have in Gabunjalung. You've got a lot of community leaders there. You've got a lot of people that have gone through their own little issues coming out. And it's those stories and those experiences are what educating the younger ones that are coming through. So it really is an effective a group. Obviously, Gabunjalung only, you know, covers a certain area in Southeast Queensland, but we are more than happy to receive new members. And even if you'd like to be a member through postal representation,
so you don't have to physically be in Brisbane.
No, you don't have to physically be in Brisbane, but you can be a member and get our posts, our mail outs, information that we have on, and also when we have major events, you can also be kept up to date with what's coming up, why you should attend it, how can you attend it, what the theme is.
Yeah.
So we try to do a lot of our promotion that we get through mainstream services and mainstream messages. Two Spirits and Gabunjalung, we black it up so that it's right for our mob, because obviously, you know, not every message suits every person.
All right, well, we'll take a short break and we'll come back and have continue our yarn with Dion Tatto and Brett Mooney. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. And I'm with Dion Tatto and Brett Mooney, members of the Gabunjalung Network here in Brisbane. I think there's a similar network up in Cairns operating there.
Yeah, that network's called Yupla Mifla Afla. So, yeah, they're community groups designed to do exactly what we discussed just before in the previous segment, to provide support, education, awareness, and to give the opportunity for people to also heal with their journeys with other like-minded people and people of same-sex attraction.
All right. Do you, as a network, you know, do you work together sometimes?
From a national perspective, when we need to be represented as a state, then we'll collaborate with UPLA MIFLA AFLA. Obviously, there are two geographical dimensions there that are in play. Mm-hmm. We've got the northernmost city, which is Cairns, that are looking after people who are rural and remote.
Yep.
And down in Brisbane, we look after people that are rural and urban. So there are different issues, different needs, and the groups try to, community groups try to cater for those needs as best they can.
All right. Well, we talked a bit about Two Spirits there and the services that they provide, but what overall, in terms of sexual health for our mob across the state, what is there?
There's, we have 27 Aboriginal medical services across Queensland, and most of those provide some form of sexual health education, prevention, testing. Specifically around chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, but also HIV education and awareness.
Mm-hmm. All right. And do they work much with mainstream as well? Because you've got organisations like Family Planning Queensland, and then you've got obviously got your sexual health workers within the Queensland Health Network as well.
Yes, they do. So at the local level, different Aboriginal medical services would work with different organisations who are also working around sexual health. But I guess the one big event that happens each year is the Deadly Sex Congress, where they bring all of the Indigenous sexual health workers together from right across Queensland, whether they be in the community control sector or with Queensland Health. And they come together for education, prevention, sessions, networking, and I guess some training as well.
Mm. It's a very really effective network, and I think that network has a lot to say about why we didn't have a huge epidemic here with our own people. And it's due to the professionalism of our own people taking charge of our own issues and giving some type of professionalism from a blackfellas perspective on how to work with blackfellas. We're not just a portfolio to be handed around for people to try and get, the politicking and all the brownie points that come with that to trying to say, oh, we help these poor blackfellas here in Australia with all their illnesses. I think where we're going right and what we're going right and the evidence is there is that we've stopped an epidemic through our own professionalism.
And we're talking specifically about HIV, AIDS, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But having said that, where are we going wrong in terms of if we look at the infection rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea and syphilis? I mean, those, you know, STIs, they're something that, you know, you talked about in the 70s and stuff like that. And then, of course, when HIV AIDS came along, that sort of stuff was forgotten about.
I think we mentioned that, you know, there hasn't been the HIV epidemic in our community that originally we thought there would be.
Mm.
In saying that, the rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis in our communities are way, way, way higher than the non-Indigenous communities.
Mm.
So I guess it's about making sure that people are educated around those other STIs, but also taking precautions, you know, condoms, going in to get tested. Because the treatment for chlamydia and gonorrhea is fairly basic.
Yep.
Syphilis a bit more detail, but, you know, people should go and get tested first of all so that they can be treated because those, you know, if they're not, well, then the chance of them spreading those infections is a lot higher.
Mm. So, but is there a disconnect somewhere happening? Are people just sort of thinking it's not going to happen to me? Or is it because, I mean, if you look at gonorrhea and chlamydia, those two particular infections, they've got no symptoms whatsoever sometimes. It could be a combination of those factors.
I think one of the things is that what happened here in Australia was that the gay community really took the initiative around HIV. And I think because they did that back in the 80s and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were involved in that. You know, you've got the likes of Neville Fazula, Mark Saunders, who have been involved, and others, sorry, who have been involved in the HIV, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV for a long time. They took the initiative way back then, and I think that's one of the major reasons that there hasn't been the epidemic that that could have been.
Mm.
But in terms of the other STIs, yep, we've still a long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, some of our girls are, you know, becoming infertile because they're not being treated for chlamydia. So we need to keep the message up about, you know, protection and treatment for those other STIs.
Exactly.
Did condom make much of a difference too? I mean, this is the first Mark condom when he came out looking very,
To take us back just a little bit, because of our education and awareness, when HIV first came to the country, it was a gay man's disease. So all of the efforts in terms of promotion was pointed at that high-risk group.
Yeah.
Now that that high-risk group has taken on that knowledge, understands how to have safe sex, understands the importance of regular checkups, regular testing, accessing their own clinics, I think the pendulum has swung towards the heterosexual community members who back in the day, which is no disrespect to anyone, but a lot of the attitude towards HIV was it was a gay man's disease. It was belonged to them gays.
Mm.
Now, the gays wised up. They took control of what was going on in their community as a high-risk group. They came together. They had a big yarn up consultation, and they come out with a firm course of actions, which obviously now
it's working.
Yeah, well, the low rates are justification as to what can come out of a community community action towards something as important as sexual health. Sex is an important part of everybody's life, and when we're talking about our own babies and our kids, it's about giving them the best opportunity that we can,
I think too, Karen and Brett probably speak more of this because he's on the national committee, but Anukana was one of the initiatives that the AIDS councils across Australia, they took the initiative back in 1984 and held the first Anukana, which is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV AIDS Alliance,
mm-hmm.
And they had in Hamilton Downs in Alice Springs the first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV AIDS conference,
mm-hmm.
and that was back in 1984. So since then, you've had people working in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV trying to get the message out, and I think that's one of the major reasons that we have not seen the epidemic that we thought we would see.
So we now need to see that focus shift to those.
We were partially given the reins to look after our own people, and the evidence is there of what's happened.
Yeah.
So, if there's any polys out there listening, just have a look at what's happened with our epidemic, and that's enough justification to show you that the professionalism in blackfellas is there. Give us a chance and we'll show you how to look after our mob rather than be a portfolio handed over from one white fella to the next white fella. You know, some of these problems, they're not stemming from the community. They're stemming from the people that run the country. And we, unfortunately, as service providers, have to abide by what structures that get pushed out through policy from government. Sometimes those policies don't agree with our people, and we're stuck in a rut. And when they're stuck in a rut, that's when infection rates start to pump up. And it's no good looking at the service provider saying, what's going on? You know, you need to listen to the service provider because he's the front line, or she's the front line. And that's where the goodness of your work, that's where you see a lot of change happen, is front line. And then you got support like people in Quake, people in AMSs, sexual health clinics. You see it from a whole perspective, a holistic perspective, where you start one thing with the message and the end result ends up someone walking through the front door to be tested at a clinic. And it's, for us, it's a sense of achievement.
And Karen, can I also add too that the treatment for HIV today is a lot better than what it was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
HIV now is considered to be a manageable chronic illness. So with the right treatment, people can live. People are living a lot longer than what they previously were.
Yeah.
So it's not the death sentence that we originally thought it was, and people may remember the old Grim Reaper ads, really bad.
Well, Condom Man was in direct response to that,
well,
wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly, because that was a negative thing, whereas Condom Man more like a positive, trying to get people to take control themselves for their own health.
Mm.
So, it is certainly treatable these days, and people go on to live, meaningful, healthy lives.
Mm. And look at Condom Man now. He's got a sidekick.
Ooh,
yeah, Yeah, I mean, the oldest living sexual health resource in Queensland now is starting to, you know, take control again due to the infection rates. It's time for our mob to step up. Again, black-controlled health promotion concepts have been put together by black fellas. And it's working in community. It's getting out there. People are picking up the messages now and actually doing something with their health, their sexual health.
Yeah, I understand that. Getting back to what's happening tomorrow night, that both Condoman and Lubalicious are going to be in
putting
town
in
tomorrow.
Putting in an appearance.
Yeah, right, D&A.
Taking a break from their busy schedule.
That's it. Coming in to share the messages around and provide you with some safe sex packs so that, you know, the loving's all good.
This is, of course, is to do with the Let's Get Red party. That
Let's Get Red Brown Sugar.
Fill us in on how these brown sugar events started.
Again, another initiative from Gubanchalam. Look, I've only been involved with Two Spirits for 9 years now. Previous to me being employed in Two Spirits, Gubanchalam was running Brown Sugars a 3 or 4, I think, previous to me coming along. They were beautiful events, and it reminds me of NAIDOC Day. You know, you get people walking around proud of who they are, proud of what they become. Same thing happens at a Brown Sugar, you know. You get enough negativity out in the bigger, wider world. But when you've been given a space to be able to just be you, it's a real beautiful thing.
And I think too, Karen, you know, Brown Sugar events are essentially a dance party, but the opportunity is taken at that dance party to promote positive health messages, whether they be around sexual health. We'll be also doing tomorrow night some mental health messages because, you know, we know how much of an issue suicide is in our communities. So we take the opportunity through our Brown Sugar events to have a good time, of course, but also to get messages around.
All right. And also showcase some deadly
performers.
Yeah, deadly talent.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we're all about bumping up what's in the community. and the community being contributing back into their own events too as well. So, yeah, we do have a good lineup of performers. I think we're starting off with Young Tyus.
Yep, Tyus Arndt, yeah.
Yes, yeah, he's a great singer, great performer.
He's sung here on the radio station on Dan's Drive program. People would have seen him sing the language version of Still Call Australia Home and the Qantas ad.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was his, I guess where he's gained that following, you know, he came to prominence. So, yeah, so he's going to be kicking off proceedings.
Yeah, he'll be kicking off proceedings, and then we'll be followed very closely after a little bit of dancing and relaxation. We'll be followed by the very clever community member of ours and Gubanchalam member, Mr. Stephen Oliver, a.k.a.
What that is?
Uncle Arthur. he'll be providing us with some light entertainment. Obviously, if you've been watching black comedy on ABC, you can see the nature of what he has to offer. If you want to have a laugh in an environment where we're not trying to convert people there, by the way, either, at Brown Sugar, you come as you are. But if you want to have a laugh, I can guarantee that's going to happen.
And that's one of the things. It's actually inclusive of everybody. You don't have to be gay, lesbian,
black, white. Anyone.
Yeah, anyone can come along to it.
Yeah, it's about more the environment, I think. Being in an environment where you have an important part to play there, but it's played alongside everybody else.
And apart from Stephen, you've also got
One special performer.
Oh, look, I tell you, she give me goosebumps right now. Can you mob see my goosebumps?
Yeah.
Dion, can you describe his goosebumps? Oh, you're a little bit closer.
They're very goosey.
Goose. Can't even goose.
Yeah, what's this then?
I'm glad you stopped at this.
We're lucky enough to have Rochelle Pitt-Watson performing for us at Brown Sugar tomorrow night. So, yes, people If they watched X Factor, or even before X Factor, a lot of us knew Michelle from. So
absolutely.
She'll be coming along and performing for us tomorrow night. So that's something else we're looking forward to.
All right. We'll come back to Dion and Brett in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. Karen Durante with you, and I'm with Dion Tatto and Brett Mooney. We've been talking a bit about the Gabuntalam Network. How do you actually spell it? And what does the word mean?
Gabunjalam, we spell it G-A-R apostrophe B-A-N apostrophe D-J-E-E apostrophe L-U-M. And it means us mob, and it was given us to us by some elders from up in the Fraser Island area, the Butchala mob. So we thank those elders very much for allowing us to use their language word.
All right. Now, this event, why are we holding it tomorrow, on the 29th?
Okay, this year's Brown Sugar event we've held in conjunction with AIDS Awareness Week, which is this week, which culminates with World AIDS Day on Monday, the 1st of December. So we've decided to have our event during this week to promote HIV awareness, to also celebrate the lives of those who are living with HIV, and to remember those who have lost their lives to HIV. So that's why we're having it during this week. And accordingly, our theme is Let's Get Red.
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
So red. What does that actually mean then? So we got to
come in anything red except your eyes. Can't catch your eyes.
No sunburn either. Don't come sunburn. That's a poor excuse. That means you waited last minute for find something to wear.
What are you wearing?
What I know yet.
You might be coming sunburned tomorrow.
Well, you know, if I come, you still won't see it.
Like the surprise.
What about
in red?
Oh, I've got
Dion?
My red shirt all ready there.
Okay, yep. Lovely. Yeah, and I mean, they've always had theme nights, haven't
we
they?
Have.
The brown thing.
Yep.
So the previous one, I think it was
Hollywood.
Yes. Yep.
Very successful one. The last one, Hollywood. Lots of people came dressed up, and it was a great night. So we're encouraging people to come dressed up again. Because we've got prizes to give away. So there's
prizes to give away.
The Hotel Orient, where we're having the event, have mm-hmm. donated, been very forthcoming in their donations for this event. So best dressed and runner up best dressed. So, you know, get your thinking caps on and get your red on.
And the more people in red, the more we can get some footage of that. And it's about Brown Sugar's response to HIV as well. And the community's response. So it's actually a platform for the community to have a voice about HIV, about Let's Get Red, about gay family members, about gay community members. It's about, that the Brown Sugars also takes into consideration those community members about what they go through and the opportunity to also give a shout out to the rest of the nation about this is what Brisbane and community people are doing with HIV.
Mm. Now, you got to make sure you bring some green with you too, don't you? Well, how much is it to get in?
Yep.
Oh, $10 or $5 for concession.
Okay, all right. You mentioned the Hotel Orient there,
yes.
That they've donated some prizes. I imagine this event wouldn't been made possible without the help of...
We've had lots of organisations make donations or provide sponsorship. The Queensland Aboriginal Under Health Council, Queensland AIDS Council, the Two Spirits Program, Hotel Orient, BEMA. Who have I forgotten? I said Two Spirits.
Hey, look at.
I hope I haven't forgotten anybody.
Yeah, look, community services, community organisations backing community response to HIV. It's really it's come together like from a holistic point of view. It's really I think. Kind of like a tribute to their support, and we're more than happy to, if there's anyone else there that still wants to support the group, please make yourself known. You can find out a little bit more through Philip and myself at the Two Spirits program at the Queensland AIDS Council, and we have a Facebook site as well for Gabunjalam. Now, accessing Gabunjalam's site is the same way it was spelt just before without the commas. So I'll just repeat that. It's all lowercase, GarbanDjeeLum. Gabunjalam. Wow. So just check their Facebook page out, put a post on there. And look, if you have a family member or you know of someone who might need a bit of support but not exactly professional support, please direct them to the group. or create a chat on the Gabanchalam Facebook site. There'll be more community members more than happy to come on and have a chat to talk about where you can go, what you can do, what people are experiencing in that point of time along their journey to coming out. So it's not just about fun and games. It's also we do have a serious side about.
You're like a mentor now, aren't you, in the network? Because you started out, they helped you, and now it's come, you're helping the young ones come through.
Well, yeah, look, I look upon various elder community members within Gabanchalam. I won't mention any names because people get real spiteful, you know. They're real hurtful when you start mentioning age. So I won't talk about the ages. But it was those guys that made it right for me to be me. It was those guys that gave me the confidence to step up amongst, you know, a group of people and say, hey, yeah, I'm a black fella and I'm a gay fella as well, but I'll always be a black fella first.
Yes.
And a gay man second. I will always have a bowl of rice and bully beef before I put my sparkly shoes on. That's just the way it is, born and bred.
All right.
And Karen also, tomorrow night, like we talk about Gabanchalam is a social group, a support group. So we will be having a membership drive at Brown Sugar tomorrow night. So when you, after you come in the front door, we'll have a table set up. If you'd like to join the network, we'll have some forms there, and you'll also go into the draw for another prize. So we've got a lot of prizes to give away tomorrow night.
Yeah, there are door prizes as well. Some deadly art.
Raffles.
So also updating your contact details too. If you haven't in the past, we are getting a little bit of return mail sent back when we've got a notifications to send out to mob. So if you already are a member and you're not receiving any mail or anything through that avenue of communication, please update your contact details so that we can get out all messages and group notifications to you, Mob.
So is the membership open to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members?
It is, in Southeast Queensland, because that's our coverage area. Yep. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we ask people to identify if they're comfortable, if they are gay, lesbian, transgender, sister, girl, brother, boy, or a supporter or family member.
Yeah.
We just ask people to note that on the membership form.
All right.
And it's really important because those stats are what we use as ammunition to gain support through other services. You know, the number of people we have, the demographic of people we have in terms of the diverse group within in our community. So sister girls, brother boys, bisexuals, lesbians, gay men. So it's really, really important. And that's the serious side to your membership. In order for us to access funds, gain support, it's good to have that demographic there to show who we cater for once we access, you know, any large group of funding or anything in that area. Also, when we do retreats, healthy lifestyle retreats and stuff like that, those demographics really do help us come into play when we're accessing funds for those types of events.
So apart from being a social event, I guess it's also an opportunity to do a bit of fundraising given the, you know, raffles and money boards and that sort of thing that's happening.
Yep.
What are you raising money to go towards?
Well, there's a few things, like depending on how much we raise, of course, but we would like to send some Gabanchalam representatives to the next Anukana 6.
Yep.
Out at back at Hamilton Downs, which is in July 2015. So we raise money for that. You know, we are a social group too, so we raise money to, you know, have barbecues, picnics, sports days, whatever. Brett did mention the healthy lifestyles retreat that we had over at Stratty a couple of years ago. So that was around healthy messages, getting messages across. So yeah, different events we raise money for.
All right. So
it's also really important that if you're a member, come along because your contribution to the group is what we need, kind of thing, so that we're able to put on the activities that make a big interest to our community group members as well. So if you come along and you feed into the group, you'll get a lot more outcome to that. And that's what we're basically designed to do. And the money fundraisers, you know, it goes back into the community. So if you want to receive the benefits from that, then you need to be a part of the group and actively be a part of the group as well in terms of coming to events, being involved in the setup of certain stuff. Maybe next year when we do another Brown Sugar, being involved with the planning and production of putting on an event. especially from community members, giving them a chance to be a part of, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff for Brown Sugar. Because obviously we need to start getting our younger ones in so that we can hand over and give them the reins to look after the next generation that are coming through.
Mm.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's recap then.
Yep. Brown Sugar tomorrow night, starting 6:30 at the hotel.
Brown Sugar
at the Hotel Orient, 560 Queen Street, Brisbane. It's actually the corner of Anne and Queen. I think it's the last venue before you get to the Valley.
Right.
Yes. Red dress, red dress, yes, red shoes, red shorts, red bow tie, red earring, red bow tie, red earring. Hey.
You said red
make
earring
sure
twice.
Make sure that you got something on red on because we will have a bouncer checking yous out.
Nagammon.
Can't even
and
wear red.
No, and there's no parking, not much parking around, so you're better off using public transport.
Yep. Or yeah. The 199 pulls up straight in front.
Mm.
The 196 also does too. And don't quote me on this, I think the 375 also does pull up in the front there. So
if they didn't get damaged during the storm, did they?
Oh, we're going to go over there and check later.
Yeah, we've got to check later on today. Mm. But if there is any damage, we'll just have to quickly repair that for tomorrow night. Eh? Sticky tape.
What's your tarp?
All right. Awesome. Thank you very much, Dion and Brett, for coming in and having a chat with us. You've got about a minute before we go, Brett.
I'd just like to say, everyone, the reason why we have low rates of HIV is because of the testing. So if there's one message I could leave you with, make sure you take control of your life. And take control of your sexual health life especially and get in and get tested. And, you know, you be responsible for you. Not when you've come in and obviously things have gone wrong. But that's if there's a message I could leave you, it'll be take control.
Yeah. And, Dion, you probably reiterate that about getting your regular health checks.
Regular health checks. All of Aboriginal medical services across Queensland, you can go in and get an adult health check and ask them to include a sexual health check in that.
All right, awesome. There you go. Dion Tadow and Brett Mooney, members of the Gabunjalan Network, have been talking about their Let's Get Red or their Brown Sugar Let's Get Red party happening tomorrow at the Hotel Orient from 6:30. 560 Queen Street, just before the Valley. That is it from Let's Talk today. I'm Karen Durante. Thanks so much for listening.